to get us going here today. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And we find Paul here is at the end of the road, the end of his life, the end of it right here. We'll talk to you today about a fight worth fighting. Is there any fight left in anybody here today? Do you got a fight in you? Paul still had a fight in him up until the day he left this world, up until the day he died. So we'll talk to you today about a fight worth fighting. Here in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, let's just start reading here in verse number 1. 2 Timothy 4:1 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Verse 6 here, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. The fight worth fighting. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for Your Word here today. Lord, thank You for the truth of Your Word. Lord, thank You for this example here from Paul here in Your book, in Your Word. I pray, Lord, You'll use Your Word to speak to our hearts here today. Lord, I pray now You'd fill me with Your Spirit. I pray You'd give me Your words, Your wisdom and Your clarity of thought, Lord. And I pray, Lord, You do what only that You can do, and that's to speak to the hearts of those here today. And I pray You'll have Your will and way with us here today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I remember when I was growing up, a little boy, I remember I liked to watch fighting, whether it was boxing or it was USC. And I grew up not in the days of Muhammad Ali, as somebody has mentioned, but more like Mike Tyson. I remember Mike Tyson was a big name coming up. And I remember, you know, growing up, and I remember hearing a lot about his fights. And, you know, the thing was, is they were always on pay-per-view. And we never paid to view them, so we never watched them. So I'd always have to hear about them from other people. But I remember the question always asked was it a good fight? Now, you'd always ask about a fight. Was it a good fight? I remember always asking about that. Well, now, in his case, usually they weren't a good fight because he knocked people out in 30 seconds, first round, many of the times. And so you paid all that money on pay-per-view for a waste of time, right? But was it a good fight? Anytime you talk about fights, you ask, is it a good fight? Was it a good fight? Now, here in our text in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse number 7, Paul says, I have fought a good fight. Think about that. I have fought a good fight. This is a different type of fight here. This isn't one of the boxing fights or the fist fights. Paul's talking about here is the kind of fight worth fighting for. The kind of fight that's worth giving your life for. Paul here is at the end of his life. He's not going to be set free. He's not going to come out of that jailhouse. He is headed to the chopping blocks, and he's most likely has his head decapitated, taken from him, and he's put to death. He's martyred for the Lord Jesus Christ. But before that, he says here in complete faith, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Isn't that glorious words? Don't you want to go out of this world saying those same exact words? That should be an encouragement to us from Paul here in the Word of God. So today, I'm going to talk to you today about the fight worth fighting for. You see, we're in a fight. We're in a fight, whether you admit it or not. We are in a fight. So I'm going to give you some things today. One of the first things I want you to see is here that is that we are to fight. We are to fight. Why? Because number one, we need to fight for salvation. We need to fight for salvation. Paul says here, I have fought a good fight. That word fight there, it means a struggle. It means a conflict. It means a battle. It means warfare. The Christian life, I'm telling you, is a battle. It is a fight. It is a constant fight. And let me just say that salvation is worth the fight. Yet you do not, let me just clarify this first of all, you do not fight to earn salvation. Jesus Christ already paid the cost and the penalty for all man's salvation on the cross of Calvary. We are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are in a battle. We are in a fight because all around us is a fight. All around us is a battle. We don't necessarily see it, but there is a battle going on all around us. Why? Because we live in a sin-sick world. Right? The world says, hey, live your truth. This is all about you. You do what makes you feel happy. Hey, we are in a battle because of the flesh. This flesh that we carry on us. Hey, the flesh says, hey, it's okay to sin. Hey, enjoy sin. Hey, do what feels good to you. Just live it up. Hey, we are in a battle because of this sin-sick world and because of this flesh, but also because we have an enemy going about seeking whom he may devour. We have an enemy in the devil, and the devil will say to you in your ear, hey, you'll say, hey, you've got plenty of time. Hey, you don't need to get saved today. Put it off until tomorrow. There is a lot of time. You can do all of that Christian stuff tomorrow. There is a fight going on in the hearts of every single person. Even every single person here today. We constantly have this battle that's going on within us. And it's the battle of the Holy Spirit conviction versus the selfish pride. And you know what I'm talking about. That selfish pride. The Bible says in John chapter 16 and verse number 8, talking about the Holy Spirit, it says here, and when He is come, the Holy Spirit, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That is that Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin, and He convicts us of the place of eternal torment, and He convicts us of a need of a Savior, and He shows us what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary and how He paid it all for all people, and He shows us eternal life, and He brings every single person to the door of salvation. But then you know what happens? That old selfish pride kicks in. That old selfish pride, it says, hey, not now. Not now. Hey, what would people think of me if I became a Christian? You know what? I'm a good person. I don't need you to tell me that I'm a sinner. I'm a good person. I go to church. I tithe. I've been baptized. But let me tell you something. You can go to church and still die lost and go to hell. You can be baptized and still die lost and go to hell. You can be all the religious that you want to be, and you can still die and go to hell. Turn over to Luke chapter number 13. Luke chapter number 13. I want you to see a couple of verses here. In Luke chapter number 13, look here in verses 23 through 25. Luke 13, verse 23 through 25 here. It says, then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Look at verse 25. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door. You might want to underline that. When he has shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Let me tell you, there is a fight. There is a battle for your soul. And one day, the door slams shut. One day, that door closes. And I think of Noah's Ark. Noah preached righteousness for 120 years. Hey, he warned everybody, you need to get in the ark of salvation, the ark of safety. The ark is a type of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. But you know what happened? One day the door on the Noah's Ark closed, and God closed that door. God closed that door and it was too late. The rain came and everything, and it was too late to get in. The Bible tells us the same thing in Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. There is coming a day for every single person when the door will slam shut and it will be too late. Let me tell you something. There is no such thing as reincarnation. There is no such thing as purgatory. You die, the judgment awaits. Now, most people in the world and a lot of people I talk to, you know, at best, they are hoping to get to heaven. At best, they are hoping, they are trying to live a certain way, but they are hoping to get to heaven. And they think that God of love would never send anyone to an eternal torment of hell. And you know what? They are exactly right. God doesn't send anybody to hell. He gives us a choice. He gives us a free will. And so everybody that goes to hell has chosen to go to hell. In Matthew 25, in verse 41, Jesus says, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angel." You see, the hell wasn't even prepared for people. Wasn't prepared for mankind. The hell was prepared for the devil. And if you choose not to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is where you will spend all of eternity. God is a God of love. Yes, He is. But you must realize that God is holy. On the throne, the seraphim's holy, holy, holy. All day long in heaven, holy, holy, holy. You see, God is holy, and sin has separated us from a holy, righteous, loving God. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. All my righteousness is a filthy rag. Hey, everything that I think is good, hey, God says, no, it's not going to cut it. You see, it's that holiness of God we need to get a hold of. It's the holiness of God that put Jesus Christ on the cross. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you that much that He sacrificed His own Son, and He had to do it out of His holiness. The gospel message in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You see, He did it all. Aren't you glad that He did it all? He makes salvation easy for you and I. He paid it all. He went through the hard work. All we got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And you know the glorious verse there in Romans chapter 10, after that in verse 13 there, it says, "For whosoever," God is a God of "for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." God is a holy God. God is a God of love, but God is a God of mercy. He's not willing that any should perish. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, He's brought somebody here today to hear those words. He's brought somebody here on the internet to hear those words, that God loves them and died in their place. And all you got to do is receive Him as your Savior here today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But hey, you're here today, maybe over the internet, and you've been putting this off. Hey, you're saying, "I'll get saved one day, but not today." Well, let me warn you, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Hell is full of people that said, "One day I'll get saved. I'm not getting saved today, but one day I will get saved." But you know what? They waited too long. They waited too long. If you turn over to Mark chapter 10, I think of the rich young ruler here in Mark chapter 10. If you look in Mark chapter number 10, look here in verse number 17. Mark chapter 10, we have the rich young ruler. He was rich. had wealth and he had things and he was young. Hey, listen, he had his whole life in front of him to worry about those things of God. He was a ruler. He had status. And you know what about this man? He heard about Jesus. He heard about the things he had been doing and how the great things that were coming to pass with Jesus. And so he went to see Jesus. And look in verse 17. It says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" That's an interesting question there, because it makes me think of the Philippian jailer in Acts 16, verse 31. He asked the same question. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, the Philippian jailer asked, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." That Philippian jailer got saved. This man right here, he doesn't get saved. You see them get saved. You'll see that here in a second. But you see, this man right here, this rich young ruler, came to Jesus. He came running to Jesus. He was excited to see Jesus. And he even knelt down before Jesus. And he even asked the right question. But this man here, he went away sad and he went away lost. And Jesus reminded him of the commandments. And this is what he said in verse 20. He answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." You see, the rich young ruler was a good person. He was a religious person. He was a moral person. But Jesus saw right through the heart. Jesus went right through the heart, cut right to the matter. And right here, Jesus knew that his God was his money. And in verse 21, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him." Isn't that amazing? That just knocks the Calvinist out of a job. All right? Because this is a lost man that Jesus loved. Okay? "And Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me.'" Hey, come follow me. Hey, who wants to go follow Jesus? Anybody here, any takers? Look what he says here in verse 22. "And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." This man went away. He saw Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He met Jesus, but he went away sad, and he went away lost. There are people like that today in our world. There are people that just like this that we come in contact every single day of our lives, that our jobs or whatever the case might be, but they're just like this. They have great possession. They have great freedoms, and they're in love with that. Oh, they love their sin. They love their alcohol. They love their country music. They love their money. They love their job. They love their pride. Whatever it might be, they love it more than Jesus Christ. Hey, don't let that be you here today. We need to fight for salvation. But number two, we need to fight in faith. We need to fight in faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 1, 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12, Paul says, "Fight the good fight of faith." Fight the good fight of faith. Now let me tell you, not every fight is a good fight. You know that. Not every good fight is a good fight. Some of you today are fighting the wrong fight. Some of you here today are fighting the wrong battles in life. You might be fighting your spouse. You might be fighting your kids. You might be fighting your neighbor. You might even be fighting yourself of that selfish control, that selfish pride. But the Bible says here that there is a good fight to fight. There is a good fight, the good fight of faith. And let me just say, from that very moment that you get saved, there's going to be a battle. There is going to be a fight until the very last day of your life. So you take that very last breath, there is a fight. And let me tell you, it's not with the church members. It's not with your family. It's with Satan. It's with the flesh. It's a spiritual wickedness in high places kind of battle. It's the battle of Ephesians chapter number 6, where he says in verse number 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Hey, we can't see it. But it's going on all around us, even right here today. Hey, the devil is fighting. The devil doesn't want anybody to get saved. The devil doesn't want anybody to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is going on right now. Hey, why do you think Satan, the devil, keeps attacking you? Is Satan attacking you today? Hey, has he attacked you yesterday? Why do you think he keeps coming back? He has attacked you yesterday. He's attacked you today. He's going to come back tomorrow. Why do you think that? Because he's attacking your faith. He wants to destroy your faith. He wants to weaken you. Hey, if Satan can get you to doubt, then he's got you. He can get you to quit. And I fear that many of you here today have already quit because of this case. You have doubted. You have let Satan in. You have lost the faith. Hey, turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is the great hall of faith. But if Satan can get you to lose your faith, you're a defeated foe. You're defeated. Here in Hebrews chapter number 11, we see here the hall of faith. And now, I'll show you a couple of verses here about faith. First off, verse number 1, Hebrews 11 verse 1 tells us what faith is. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen." You see, you can't see faith. It's like the wind. Can't see the wind, but we can see the results of the wind. We can see the results of faith. And in verse 3, it says, "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God." You see, all that is faith. We look at creation, it's faith in what God said, how God created. Not evolution, but God created. And then here, look at verse 6. It says here, "But without faith, it is impossible to please." You need to get that. We all need to get that. We must have faith. We must increase our faith. If we do not have faith, we do not please Him. "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently," diligently, diligently "seek Him." And now the rest of this chapter, you got to read it. It goes on and it lists a whole bunch of people. Men and women who didn't quit. Men and women who kept the faith. They fought in faith. All right? They fought in faith. Hey, it doesn't list a bunch of people who lived comfortable lives. Hey, it doesn't list a bunch of people who lived isolated, alone from trouble and everybody else. It lists a bunch of people that were tortured. It lists a bunch of people who were mocked and scourged and put in prison and stoned and sawn asunder. Right? It lists a lot of people who, just like Paul here in our example, kept the faith and they fought in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 38 goes on and says, "Of whom the world was not worthy." You get that? "Of whom the world was not worthy." Why? Because they fought in faith. Let me just say this. When your health is gone and you still praise Him, that's fighting in faith. Hey, when your prayers go unanswered and you still love Him, you still trust Him, that's fighting in faith. When everybody else has forsaken you and you're standing all alone with the Lord Jesus Christ and you still have kept the faith, that is fighting in faith. You see, it's the promises of God that will give you the victory over our enemy. You say, "Well, how do I do that?" The Bible tells us, Romans 10, verse 17, says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Let me just say this today. You cannot fight in faith if you don't feed your faith. If you're not engulfed in the Word of God and taking it in through the preaching and the reading, hey, it all comes from the Word of God. You cannot feed your faith if you're starving your soul of the Word of God. I believe that God prepares a message every week. I believe that God gives the Word and He takes the Word and He does something that I can't do with the Word. He takes it for each person and He speaks to each person's heart through the Holy Spirit, and He convicts us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And that's something that I can't do. But my fear is that many people have a message that God has prepared for them and they're not here. They're not here. They missed the Word. They missed the preaching that God had for them. And so they've starved themselves of the Word, and they go out for the week or whatever the case might be, and they have no power. My point is, you cannot expect to win spiritual battles when the only time you open your Bible is once a week. On a Sunday morning, on a Sunday night, whatever the case might be, if you're going to endure like Paul did, if you're going to fight in faith like Paul did, hey, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." You see, we got to fight in faith. Hey, we don't see it. We don't see it, but what do? We trust God. We trust God to light our path. We walk by faith, not by sight. So let me ask you, are you fighting with doubt today? Or are you fighting with faith? Are you fighting with doubt in your lives? Or are you trusting God for the promises of God? Too many people, and it's we're all guilty, right? Even me, but too many of us, we walk by what we can see. Only because it's what we can see, and that's not faith. And the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please Him. We got to learn to step out and walk on faith, all right? I think of Peter. Peter stepped out of the boat on faith. He walked on the water. Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and he sank. But I think of David and Goliath. David was a ruddy young man. I think of someone like Roman, right? Going before this Goliath. Okay, but David, he wasn't afraid. Everybody was afraid to fight Goliath. They said, oh, he's a giant. He's too big. The whole army of Israel was afraid to fight him, but not David. David went to that Goliath, and he said this. He said this in 1 Samuel 17:45. He says, "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a sword, but with a shield." And David said this, "But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts." Hey, listen, I don't have all those battle-tested tools. All I'm coming to you is in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. And you know what happened? David fought in faith that day, and he won. He killed Goliath. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying that's exactly how we fight in faith. That's exactly how we fight in faith. Moving on here, third thing I want you to see, if you turn over to Ephesians chapter number 6, we got to fight in prayer. We got to fight not only in faith, but we've got to fight in prayer. While you're turning over to Ephesians chapter number 6, I want you to see here, if you're going to fight a fight worth fighting, we've got to learn to fight in prayer. And I think most of you here today would agree with me, and even me, when I say our prayer life isn't what it needs to be. Our prayer life is not what it should be. We need to be praying more than we do. We need to pray about everything. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. But prayer is not a preparation for the battle. Prayer is the battle. Prayer is the battle. I want you to see this here in Ephesians chapter number 6. All through Ephesians chapter 6, Paul's talking about putting on the armor of God. Okay? He's talking about putting on the armor of God. He's talking about putting on the helmet, putting on the sword, putting on the shoes, putting on the breastplate. He's talking about preparing for the battle. Right? When a soldier goes to battle, he prepares himself. Puts on the gear. Look here in verse 17. It says, "And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Now, I want you to know that it doesn't stop there. Here's my point. It doesn't stop there. Verse 17 goes right into verse 18. And look what it says in verse 18. It says, "Praying always." You get that? Underline it. Praying always. You see, once we put on the armor of God, we go to battle. What is the battle? The battle is prayer. It's time to go to battle. But you know what? He goes on in this verse. He says, "Praying always, with all prayer and supplication." And I want you to get this, "in the Spirit." Too many times we pray in the flesh. We're filled with the world. We got to be filled with the Spirit. If we're going to fight in faith and fight in prayer and win battles, we must be filled with the Spirit, because that is how the battles are won. Hey, there's a lost family member saved. Hey, we got to be filled with the Spirit, praying always, a wayward son coming home. Prayer is where we will die to the flesh. In Matthew 26:41, Jesus says here, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." You see, prayer is the battle. Prayer is the battle. On the day of Pentecost, we know that the disciples had been praying for 10 days. They were in the upper room. They were in one accord. They were together. They were unified for 10 whole days. They didn't quit and go home and come back. They were there for 10 days. And on that 10th day, the Holy Spirit of God filled them with His Spirit. And then Peter went out and preached a message, and 3,000 souls were saved that day. Well, let me ask you this. What if they would have quit praying on day 8 or 9? What if they would have quit praying on day 2 or 3? They never would have seen God's power. How many times do we quit praying? We pray once and say we prayed, and then we quit and we're done, and that's just it. But let me say, that's not fighting in prayer. That's not fighting in prayer. We need to fight in prayer. James 5:16 says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Let me ask you a personal question. Do you ever wonder why so many Christians, and maybe it's you, live a defeated life? Let me ask you this. Why do you live a defeated life? It's because there's no prayer life. We have no prayer life. A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. You've heard it said, I've said it before, no prayer, no power, little prayer, little power, much prayer, much power. We can't expect God to move in our lives and do great things if we're not a prayer warrior. I think of Moses in Exodus chapter number 17. You remember Moses is on the mountaintop and he's in prayer while Joshua and the men are fighting Amalek down below. And Moses stood on that mountain with his hands raised. And when his hands was raised, what happened? They were winning the battle. They were winning the battle. But when Moses got tired, his hands began to fall down. His hands fall down. He couldn't hold them up. He began to be weak and tired. And Amalek began winning the battle. So what happened? Aaron and Hur come alongside. And they lift his arms up. And they win the battle. My point is this. We don't just fight the battles with swords. It's fought in prayer. It's fought in prayer. Moses' arms were tired. And along came Aaron and Hur to lift him up. Notice there the second part of Ephesians 6:18 there. It says, "And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Hey, wouldn't it be good if we just all come alongside of each other as church members, as brethren, and we just come along and pray one for another? That's how we fight in prayer. But I got one more for you here. Lastly here, I want you to see that we need to fight in perseverance. Not only do we fight for salvation and we fight in faith and we fight in prayer, but we also fight in perseverance. Perseverance means this. Webster says so. It's defined as a steady persistence in a course of action, especially in spite of difficulties, obstacles, or discouragement. And it also means to remain under pressure without giving up. And that's basically what it means. Not to quit. To keep moving forward, not quitting, not giving up. Hey, listen, and if you would, flip over to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. I want you to see here, we need to fight in perseverance. We need to not give up. We need to not quit. Paul had his day of quitting that day that he died. That's our example. That's when we can retire. You know, I never really understood the fact of like, preachers retiring. I never understood that. Because how can you retire if you're a preacher? You're always to do it. Right? If you're serving the Lord, you just always do it. Until the day, you know, nobody retired in the Bible. They served until God called them home. But anyways, we just fight in perseverance. We just keep moving along. Hebrews chapter 12 in verses 1 and 2 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." And right here, "and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Each one of us have our own race. God's will for you is not God's will for me. We are all in a race, but this race isn't a sprint. It's more like a long-distance marathon, okay? It's not a sprint. Look here in verse number 2, because this is how we do it. We persevere by, number 2 here, looking unto Jesus. Hey, we need to keep our head up. We need to keep looking unto Jesus. Why? Because He is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hey, we need to persevere. We need to endure whatever battle we go through. Why? Because one day the race will be over. One day we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and one day we will see Him on His throne. But let me warn you, there's going to be times in the Christian life where you're going to want to quit. There's going to be times when the battles will come, and let me tell you, the devil will get you down, and the burdens will be heavy upon you, and you'll say, it's tough, it's rough, it's hard, I don't think I can do it, but here's what you do. You just keep doing it. You just keep going. You don't quit, you persevere, Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. We just need to keep going. We need to keep going. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus, looking for Him. Why? Because one day we give an account of our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse 13, it says here, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Let me ask you this. What are you doing for Christ today? You see, when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, all of our works will go to the fire. What are we doing for Jesus Christ today? When you reach the end of your life, it will not matter how big your house was. It will not matter how much money is left in the bank account or how much money you had in the bank. What will matter is, did you finish the course? Did you fight the good fight? Will you hear this in Matthew 25, verse 21? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Paul here is about to be martyred. He's about to be put to death. But he longs to hear those words from Jesus. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. The only way you and I will hear those words is if we persevere to the end. Hey, if we fight the fight worth fighting, if we fight in faith, if we fight in prayer. Hey, if we fight in perseverance, if we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and not quit. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. Now there's a story here from the Korean War. It talks about here, let me read it for you. It says, as the enemy forces advanced during the Korean War, Baker Company was cut off from the rest of their unit. And for several hours, there was no word over the speaker there, over the radio. Even though headquarters had tried to communicate with the missing troops, and finally, there's a faint call. A faint signal was received. Straining to hear the voice, the sergeant asked Baker Company, do you read me? He says, this is Baker Company. He says, what is your situation? Asked the sergeant. There was a moment of silence there. And he came back and said, the enemy is to the east of us. The enemy is to the north of us. The enemy is to the west of us. And the enemy is to the south of us. And you can imagine there was another pause there. And then the sergeant came back on with determination. He said, the enemy is not going to get away from us now, is he? Although they were surrounded, they were outnumbered. He was thinking of victory, not defeat. Victory, not defeat. You see, our commander-in-chief has already won the victory for all of us. All we have to do is get up and fight the good fight. And He will lead us to victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Just keep on fighting. Just keep on fighting the good fight. Hey, maybe you're here today and you've never been saved. You can come forward here in just a moment. We'll have our invitation. And you can tell me, I need to be saved. And we'll show you from the Bible how to be saved. You're here today. You said, I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. But let me ask you this. Are you in the fight? Are you in the fight? Are you fighting a fight worth fighting? Hey, if you have quit, if you sat on the sidelines, all you got to do is get back up and get in the fight. The fight worth fighting. Let's pray.